Colossians 3, verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for the truth of it. And I'm thankful for the families that are represented here tonight. Grateful for the children. Grateful, Father, for all the grandchildren, the parents, grandparents. Grateful, Father, for each and every one. And I ask you to teach us tonight through your word that, Lord, that we might be able to be a blessing to one another. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Going to tonight bring a message on children, obey your parents. And I like very much for the young people to listen very closely tonight. It's something that'll be a help to you, a real blessing to you. If you learn the principles that we're going to bring forth tonight, it'll help you. And not only that, of course, I believe it'll help us parents and grandparents also. It'll teach us some things tonight that we need to know concerning what the Bible says about children obeying their parents. I think the Bible, or I know the Bible, has much to say about how children ought to react and ought to treat their parents. And I see, I guess, in today's world, I see so much, and you do too, of just the opposite. We see young people treating parents in a very dilatory way many times, not always, certainly. But many times we see this out in public, and so it's something that needs to be addressed. It'll help us if we'll just learn these things. And in fact, I believe the teachings concerning the children obeying with parents will help that child and will have a great influence on the rest of your life if you learn the truth of what God says about it. It'll influence you for the rest of your life. And so I believe it's that important. Let us face facts. Young people, you are under direct authority of your parents. That's just a statement. God is the one that wrote the word. He says in 3:20 that children are to obey their parents, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's no doubt about it. You are to be under subjection, under the authority of your parents. God has established a chain of command. That's just the way it is. God did it. When I was a young boy, whether I liked it or not, my dad and my mom were my authority. God established that. That's the chain of command that He has established. And too many times, I'm afraid that there's rebellion over those who are in authority over us. Let me say to you that God has placed someone in authority over us. Amen? There's just no doubt about it. And let me say to you, if you're in a place, let's take the father of the home. The father is the head of the home, but let me assure you one thing. We have God as our authority. And God is our authority. And let me say to you, He holds us accountable. You can mark it down. He holds us accountable. He is our authority. So it doesn't just stop. Doesn't just stop there with the father in the home or anywhere else. It's God's authority. And let me say, always God is at the top of the chain of command. Amen. In every situation, He is there. God's the one that established government. Did you know that? God established government. He's the one that set the thing up. He's the one that said that there had to be someone ruling over government. We'll probably read a verse or two about that in a little while. But God did that. God's the one who established the church and the chain of command in the church and how it's supposed to be. Jesus as the shepherd over the church, the head of the church. No doubt about that, you see. No doubt about it. The home, Jesus, God's the one that established the home. He's the one that set it all up, you know, and put the man as the head of the home. He's the one that did that. And it won't work right unless we follow it. God's word, you see, it will not work right. You ever notice even in our military, do you notice that what do we start with? Is it corporals we start with or private? Which is first? I don't even know. Private is first and then what? Corporal? You think that's next? I forget which is next. But anyway, sergeant, and then we have lieutenants and captains and colonels and generals and, you know, one-star, two-star, three-star, four-star, five-star generals. And you always have a chain of command. Amen? You always have somebody over somebody else. And then we have the commander-in-chief. We have the president of the United States. Amen? And he's over them all. You see, and what I'm simply saying is God has allowed this to establish. That's where we got that, is from God's Word. He's established those things. And as I said earlier, He put the pastor over the church. He done that. No one else done that. God did that. He's the one that established that. And then, of course, He put the fathers over the home. God done that. Don't ever try to take that away. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. God has established the man as the head of the home. Has He not? So don't stand against that. You agree with the Word of God, agree what it says, because God has done that, you see. Now, let me just say something. Everyone is going to be happier, and things are going to run smoother when all of these things that God has laid down are followed. If we'll just get in our place where God has put us and just let God have His way, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be a happier person. Things are going to run smoother, and everything's going to go a lot better if you just keep your place that God has placed you in. Now, young people, what I'm saying to you simply is this at the beginning of this message, you're going to be better off, you're going to be more happier if you submit yourselves unto your parents. You are going to be a happier person. You're going to see that things run a lot smoother if you submit yourselves unto your parents. Why does God say that? Listen, God says in verse number 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." I want you to notice something. The emphasis is not that children obey your parents in all things. That is what He's saying they should do. But the emphasis is on the fact that it is well-pleasing to God. That's where the emphasis of that verse of Scripture is. It's well-pleasing to God. Young people, listen. You want to please God? Submit yourselves to your parents. Be under the authority of your parents. Obey your parents. If you want to please God, that's what you're going to do. Because that's where the emphasis on this is. Because that's what God says pleases Him. Obey parents, okay? Some folks will say, "Well, you don't understand. My parents are old fogies. They don't know what's best for me." I'd like to ask you one question. Are you smarter than God? Are you smarter than God? Answer me that. Young people, ask me, are you smarter than God? Are you? What did God say to do? Obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to Him. Amen. So I think God knows better than you, don't you? And I think He knows better than me. He knows better than all of us. And so God is saying to us, we are to obey our parents. Over in Ephesians 6:1-2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother." And God said it is right to do it. Why do you want to obey your parents? Because it's right. Because God says to do it. Isn't that enough? I mean, shouldn't that be enough for us? If God says, isn't that enough for us? Why, sure. God says, "And to honor thy father and thy mother." I want to take you back to the book of Romans for just a few moments in the very 13th chapter of the book of Romans. I just want to read one verse of Scripture. Then we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 13, verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And he goes on to say, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Did you hear what God is saying? God said, "I have set up the chain of command. I've set up the powers that be. I have set them up." And God is saying that we are to be subjective unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Yeah, God set them up. God said that's the way it should be. All right, now, young folk, if God said you obey your parents, did God set that up? Is God the one that said that? Is God the one that established all this? Certainly it is. And God is saying that we are to mind what the Word of God says. Now I want to take you back to the book of Proverbs for just a few moments. And we'll look at chapter 30 of Proverbs, first of all. Just going to read a verse or two each time. And chapter 30, verse number 17. Now, what I want to do is show you the seriousness of minding what God says about obeying parents, okay? In Proverbs 30, verse number 17, he says this, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." What God is saying to us, he's showing us the seriousness of mocking at our parents and scorning at our parents. You know what? I don't know what you know, but I see a lot of this. I see it happening, and it literally scares me to death of what's going to happen to these young people that scorn their father and their mother and mock at their father and mother's authority. It literally scares me to death. Why? Because God in his word, and let's say to all of us, God's word is true. I mean, God don't play games. Amen. I mean, it may not be serious to you, but it is to God. Amen. And when God says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." God says it's serious business, I'm telling you. Better not mock at mom and dad. Better not scorn at mom and dad. Young people, listen to me. You hear me. You hear me. You treat your mom and dad right. Don't you mock at them, and don't you scorn at them. You're walking on dangerous ground if you do that. That's dangerous. Now look at chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse number 5. He says, "A fool," that's in verse number 5, chapter 15, "a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." You know what God says? If a young person despises his father's instruction, did you hear what God called him? A fool. A fool. Did you hear? Now God is saying if we despise the instructions of our father, we are a fool. Now God said that. And then he goes on to say, "But he that regardeth reproof is prudent." In other words, he that will take correction and will be straightened out and will do what their parents instruct them to do, he says they're prudent people. They're wise people. They're doing rightly. Now look at chapter 6, please, of the book of Proverbs. Verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." God said reproof and instructions is just the way it is. It's the way of life. And he's saying you're to hear the instructions of your parents. Young folk, listen, if you don't realize it now, maybe you don't, I don't know, but a lot of times it shows on your faces when moms and dads tell you something to do and you get that terrible look of mocking and you don't want to do it and that horrible rebellious look upon your face, it shows. You understand that? It shows the way you feel inside. And listen, God's not pleased with that. God will never, ever, ever be pleased with that. You are to mind your mom and dad. You're to listen to their instruction. And you're to be a prudent person here. Now, there's three basic purposes for the authority of the parent over the young person. Three basic things that God is trying to do for us when he puts the parents in authority over us. First one is this. It's designed to cause you to grow in wisdom and in character. The authority over you is designed to build your character and instill in you wisdom. You know, it's a wise son who learns obedience and learns to be obedient. That's a wise son that does that. It's a wise son that learns self-sacrifice and how to sacrifice instead of always wanting. It's a wise son that learns to listen when mom and dad says no, and they'll take that as that is no because they know what's best for us. It's a wise son that will learn humility and put themselves under the authority and be humbly under the authority of their parents. It's a wise son that will learn meekness as Moses learned meekness, which is strength under control. It's a wise son that will learn those things. And I say to you, parents, it's up to us to help teach them to our children. We indulge our children way too much. Now, I know the times that we live in seem to tend to lean to this direction. But let me say to you, we indulge our children way too much. I remember back when and let me say to you young people, I understand. I remember back when I was a boy, and my daddy used to say, when I was a boy. And sometimes I would kind of get tired of hearing when I was a boy. Okay? And sometimes you probably going to get tired of hearing when I was a boy. And when your mom and dad was a boy or girl, amen. But what I'm trying to do is not really go back and try to bring all those things up, but try to teach a principle. That I remember as a younger, my wife and I, when we got married, and some of you will associate with this and remember things like this, but I remember when Don and I, if we would save sometimes our change, and one night a week maybe go up and get the kids and us a bottle of pop or maybe a candy bar, and that was a treat. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. That was a treat. But it is no longer a treat. They have two in their mouth, five in their pocket, and a bag hid under the table. And another bag in the cabinet. Amen? What I'm saying to you is it's no longer a treat. The little things of life no longer are treats. We are so have indulged our children that they just get anything they want, whenever they want it. And if we think if they don't get pizza three times a week, that they have really sacrificed. I mean, bless their little hearts and souls. Amen? What I'm saying to you, we are indulging our children, and it is harming them and hurting their character. It is destroying their character. On Christmas, and I don't know why I'm talking about Christmas, but Christmas, we indulge our young people and our children many times with maybe a dozen gifts and are almost ashamed that we don't get them more. Shame, 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 shame on us. Why are we to indulge them with such a... You know why? You know what's happening? They're going to expect that the rest of their life. They're going to expect people to give to them, and they're going to have, and when they don't have, they don't understand it, and they're going to go out and do anything they can to get it. And we are destroying the character of our young people when we indulge them with so many things. We need to learn not to do that. We need to instill instead into them the spirit of obedience and the spirit of self-sacrifice and the spirit of humility and the spirit of meekness. We need to instill in those things, give them spiritual gifts and training that'll help them through life. Because all these material things are not going to help them through life. Teach them how to live. Teach them how to be somebody, not what they've got. Go with me to the book of Luke for just a few moments. Second chapter of the book of Luke. I want to read verse 39 and 40. Luke 2, 39. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And I want you to notice the thing that God spoke about, picked out, as the thing that he was speaking about the Lord Jesus. He said he was strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom. The Lord didn't say anything about whether he was good looking, had a lot of clothes, had a lot of toys, had a lot of material things, was not mentioned. But God said he was strong in spirit and he was filled in wisdom. That's the thing we want to put in our children. Amen? Look down in verse number 51. And of course, this is after they had left Jerusalem, and they was traveling. And you remember when Jesus was 12 years old and they'd got a little ways and came back and got him, and he was sitting in the temple there listening, hearing, and asking questions of those there in the temple. And in verse 21 it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." You notice once again it didn't say he increased with material goods. He increased with wisdom and stature and in favor with God and also in man. Notice in verse 51 what it says, "He was subject unto them." Remember for something, folks, this is the Son of God. Young people, listen to me. This was Jesus, the Son of God, who was subject unto his parents. Amen? Now, let me throw another one at you. Some years back, I was dealing with a situation where there was a child in the home that was rebelling against the authority of the stepfather in the home. Okay? This was the situation. And that person said to me, this young person said to me, "Well, he is not my dad. He has no right to tell me what to do whatsoever." And you know, the Lord that day just simply gave it to me. I'd never really thought about it before. But you know what? Jesus also had a stepdaddy. Is Joseph his real daddy? Oh, of course not. Joseph was the one who raised Jesus. And for us to say, "Well, I don't care if he is that stepdaddy in the home, I'm not going to pay any attention to him, he's not my biological father," shame on you. Whoever the daddy in that home is the authority in that home. Dear friend, and young people, Jesus put himself in subjection to his parents. And God is saying to you, put yourself in subjection to your parents. So the first one is that it's going to help you to grow in wisdom and in character. If you want to do this, young people, if you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to grow in character, submit yourselves to mom and dad. Okay? Do that. Now, the second one is the authority of parents is designed to protect you. They're there to protect you. You see, they see dangers that you don't see. They're older. You don't understand that now. You really don't. I know you didn't. I don't understand it when I was that age. But they see dangers and problems that you don't see. Why? Because they've had the experience. They've got the maturity. They've been down the road. And they can understand. They can see things. And they can see dangers that's coming your way that you do not understand. Why? Because God put parents over you. You're not there yet. You haven't arrived. You don't have the wisdom you need yet. You're still growing in wisdom and you're still growing in maturity. And the parents are there to teach you and train you and help you. And that's why it's so discouraging when we see parents who are not even trying to do that. And that's discouraging. They're not even trying to protect their children. They're letting them do anything they want to do. Let them make the decisions. And that's what God put parents there for. God expects us to guide and direct our children and help them and help to see to it that they go in the right direction. You see, because in all seriousness, that's the other thing that God put parents for, is to give clear direction for your life. Is to help and guide you in your life, you see. That discipline they give you is to help you for and to bring you to that place where you're going to be doing what God has purposed you to do. You're here for a purpose, and parents are there to help guide you into that purpose. You're not just here helter-skelter to just do anything you want and choose something out of the air. Parents are to help guide us and direct us into a life's work. And let me say something to you also. Young people, listen closely. And parents, listen closely to this. Young people, If it comes time for you to begin to date and go with a young man or a young lady, and you begin to go with that person, you begin to think you're serious with that person, if that mom and dad are against that and they do not think it's a right and proper thing, I'd break up immediately. Because parents are given special discernment in things like that. I didn't say they was brilliant. I didn't say they knew all things. But they're given special discernment. There's things that God puts in them and raises up against. I'm talking about not that they just don't like something about the individual. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if they really come to that place where they say, it's just not right. God's not in this. You better listen. You better hear, because God gives parents as a discernment to help guide and direct you into the things of life. You see, God has appointed your parents for that task. That's why they're there. Love your parents. Respect them. Listen to their counsel. I didn't say they was always right, but my friend, listen, even if they're not right, you better listen and you better mind, because God has placed them there and God uses them for that purpose. Don't think you get to the place where you know more than your parents, for you don't. Okay? Now remember, I'm talking about why they're in your household. I'm talking about why they're under your authority. I didn't say you still couldn't use the counsel of a parent. I think all of us that's got a little age on us still can see the goodness of that. We can still use counsel from those parents of ours. But I'm talking about when you're under the authority of your household, you listen very careful to those parents. Now, if you reject God's use of your parents to build character in you, God will raise up, listen to this, God will raise up a bigger hammer to do it. God has His ways. You say, I'm just going to get out of here. I'm just going to get out from underneath this authority of my parents. Well, you just watch it. Because out there somewhere, God's got a bigger hammer, bigger sledgehammer that He will use to bring you to the place where He wants you to be brought. You see, the thing about it is, you just don't know all you need to know. You just haven't arrived yet. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Every child, the Bible says, has foolishness in his heart. Amen? God said that, and He said the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Now, you'll never, ever, ever, ever remember this. You'll never get to that place where you're not under some kind of authority. You'll never get to that place. You see, if it's not your parents, young lady, it'll be that husband. I'm going to get out from underneath the authority of my parents. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. And then you put yourself right under the authority of your husband, because that's the way God established it. Amen? That knows how to put the hammer on you. I will pay attention to my parents. I'll go out on my own. I'll get me a job. And good. Go right ahead. God's got a lot of bosses out there that's just going to put the old sledgehammer right on you. Amen? And if it isn't a boss, it may be a policeman. Might be an army sergeant. Might be a prison warden. Might be the one in whom you are in debt to. I'm not going to be an authority of nobody. You go out here and get yourself in debt and you are under authority. Try not paying the next bill and find out. You think God hasn't got a way to put you under authority and me under authority? Wouldn't it be great for me to say, brother, I'm the pastor of this church. No one is over me. Boy, I better get on my knees fast. Because there is one over me, and I'll guarantee you, he keeps the hammer on me. I'll guarantee you, he does. Over and over and over again. Amen? See, we are under authority. Sources of authority may vary, but it's a fact of life. I remember about 3 years ago, a lady came to me. I was sitting in her home. I think Donna was there with me, sitting in the home. The husband was there, and this is the words she said. Pastor Ross, and she got this look on her face, I am so sick and tired of you talking about authority, 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 authority. That's the way she done it. I'm sick of hearing about authority. You're always talking about authority. And what was inside was coming out because she hated authority. She despised authority. And you know what? She will, unless somewhere along the line she gets it right, she will do that for the rest of her life. And she will fight authority and fight those around her for the rest of her life and run from all authority. She will. She'll run from it for the rest of her life and make everybody else miserable around her unless she's willing to get that thing right and get under the authority of her husband and under other kinds of authority that God places over her. So what I'm trying to say to you is learn the fact of authority early so you don't have to fight it for the rest of your life. You see, a young lady goes out and says, I'm going to get married. I'm going to get out from underneath. She goes out and marries a young man. And she thought he was her prince. Instead, he turned out to be her monster. Over and over and over again, that's happened. She said, I'm going to get free. Goes out and marries somebody that's a monster to her and has authority over and treats her like dirt. And wouldn't it be better to have just minded God to start with and been under authority of the parent? Wouldn't it have been better? Sure it would have. Listen quickly. God is going to hold you accountable. Young people, listen to me. God's going to hold you accountable for your disobedience to the authority that God has placed over you. You cannot get by with that. Now, I'm saying that to the young people because we're teaching children obey your parents, but I'm saying that to all of us. God is going to hold us accountable for those authorities that God has placed over us and how we reacted to them. Here's what happens. Four quick ways that you lose when you reject parent authority. Four quick things. First of all, your own personal testimony is destroyed. If you rebel against your parents, you have no testimony for the Lord. You have none. It is destroyed. It is gone. How can you go out in public and say, I am a Christian, I'm a good Christian young man, a good Christian young lady, and be rebelling against the authority of your parents, which the Word of God forbids? You lose your testimony. You have none. Zilch. If you fight against the authority of your parents, you can't have any good spiritual influence over other people when you are fighting and rebelling against the parents that God gave you. It's impossible. Secondly, your physical life is likely to be cut short. Children, obey your parents that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, when we reject the authority of the parents in our life, there's a good possibility God's going to cut our life short. That's dangerous, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's serious business, wouldn't you say? Not only that, your peace of mind and health is at stake. You say, what do you mean, Brother Ross? Listen to what the Word of God says over in Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now remember something. Fearing God and departing from evil go together. You tell me you fear God and you're walking in evil and sin, you're kidding yourself. You're not kidding anybody else. Because the fear of the Lord and the departure of evil go together. And then here's what it says. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The fear of God, which will cause you to obey your parents because God said to, will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Amen? So you see, you're in danger of losing your health. Not only your physical life, but your health is at stake. Many young people today are living in frustration, turmoil, brought on by their own selfish, stubborn rebellion against the authority of their parents. And they're causing and bringing that problem right on their own self. Number four, when your children grow up and have children, you will sow in them the seed of rebellion. You see, you cannot pass on to your family something which you never had. Now, I did not say that a person that's in rebellion cannot get it right and get it forgiven and get it cleansed, but they must do that. If they continue in rebellion against their mother and their daddy, and they never call out to God for forgiveness for them, they are going to sow the seed of rebellion in their own children. You see, you can't pass on submission and authority unless you've got it. Unless you set the example. Moms and dads, listen to me a minute. Now, I'm not talking about disagreeing with government policy. I think everybody here will disagree with government policies. Amen? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about speaking evil of dignitaries, as the Word of God speaks about. We can sit around and run down our president and call him dirty names and all kinds of things, and we are sowing in our children the spirit of rebellion. Nothing wrong with disagreeing with our president and the policies of Congress and things like that. But to speak evil of dignitaries, we are sowing a seed of rebellion in our own children because they are seeing us rebelling against those whom God has put over us. Let me say to you again, this is not for my benefit, it's for yours. But if you go home and you speak evil of the pastor and speak wrongly of the pastor, you are sowing seeds of discontent and rebellion in your children because they will hear it. And let me guarantee you what they will grow up to do. They will grow up one of these days to be in a church where they will also chew out their pastor and make life miserable for their pastor. Because you are sowing seeds of rebellion in your children's lives when they see you do that. You come home from work and you criticize that boss. I'm not talking about disagreeing, but you criticize and run him down and call him a dumb bunny and he don't know this and don't know that. Let me tell you something. You are sowing in your children the spirit of authority that one of these days they won't be able to work in under any authority either. And they will criticize everyone that's over them. See, what happens is we begin to sow that seed of rebellion in the lives of our children very early when they see us doing these things. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you're going to treat other people, young people, you're going to treat other people much like the way you treat your parents. I want to warn some people of something. Girls, listen to me. You're going to treat your husband much like you treat your father. I'm very serious. That's pretty well the way you're going to treat your husband one of these days when things get all settled down and the honeymoon is over. You're going to speak of and teach and look at your husband much like you looked at your father. If you don't speak well of your father, you won't speak well of your husband. And if you don't respect your father and honor your father and follow the instructions of your father, you won't do it with your husband either. So boys, beware. Look how they treat their fathers. I'm not talking about one incident. I'm not talking about if someone rose up and got mad at once. I mean, they shouldn't have done that. But I'm talking about on a general rule, how do they treat their fathers? Because they're going to treat their husbands pretty well the same way. And also, boys, you're going to treat your wife much like you treated your mothers. Girls, beware. Observe. Watch. See. Do they speak unkindly of their mothers? Do they treat them wrongly? Do they say wrong things about them and treat them with disrespect? Beware, because that's the way they're going to treat you one of these days. I can honestly go back to the life in my father and my mother, and I remember I was taught respect, And I believe as I go back there, I can know why today I do my best to treat my wife with all kindness and grace is because my daddy taught me I better do that to my mother. And I did treat her with respect and honor. And I do the same with my wife today. I didn't say as a perfect husband. You know better than that. I'm just simply saying I go back to that, and I think that's where I learned it. I remember taking things home to my mother. I worked on the farm, and I would maybe get rained out someday. I'd stop up at the hardware store or the grocery store. Sometimes I'd bring something home for special for me and her to eat for dinner. I'd stop up at the hardware store one day, and I bought her a beautiful, I thought it was beautiful, green water pitcher or lemonade pitcher. Maybe that'd be better. I want to tell you, my mother stood there and cried when I gave it to her. And she cried one other time over it when it got broke years later. What I'm saying is, you know what? Today I still bring my wife things. No big deal. But I still bring my wife. You know why? I learned it back there. And I want to tell you something, men. You can't treat your young boys. If you can't treat your mama right, you won't treat your wife right. You won't do it. Or if you do, you're going to have to do a lot of learning. You're going to have to do a lot of change, and it's going to be hard for you, and you're going to have to work at it, and God's really going to have to do some things in your life to help you to do right. You understand? You see, the way you receive, the way I receive human authority will be exactly the same way that we receive the authority of God. You see somebody rebelling against the authority that God has placed over them, mark it down, they're in rebellion against God too. Oh, absolutely. I don't care what kind of show they put on. They're in rebellion against God. If they're in rebellion against the human authority that God has given them, then I'll guarantee you they are in rebellion against God Almighty. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Ross, I love God. I'm under His subjection, but I just don't like to be under subjection of a parent or someone. Well, then that God's the one that told you to be. And you're in rebellion against Him when you don't be. I mean, amen? Amen? And so mark it down. Don't ever tell me you're all right with God if you're in rebellion against authorities that God has placed over you. No way under the sun. I'm just going to close by saying this. Parents, if you really love your children, care about their future, teach them to subject themselves to the authority, your authority in their life. Don't let them get by with rebelling against you. Make that serious business and set the example that you ought to set so they can be under that authority in a right and proper way. I mean, even if we don't set the example, we ought to be, but I'm saying, parents, isn't it right to set the example right? So our young people can see this example, and as they grow up, they yield to the authority because they know that mom and dad is doing the best they can for their benefit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace and your mercy, your wonderful love for us. And thank you for the word of God. And Father, I do pray you help us to mind it. God, help us to take it serious and help our young people. I know you love them. We love them. And oh God, I pray for them and ask you, God, to help them to be under subjection to their parents. In Jesus' name, amen.